Okay. We have this lesson and one more, and then I will be finished, and Linda will start teaching on better. And I'm not exactly sure where all she's going with that, but we shall see. So today we're going to be looking at forgiving, and then next week we'll look at submission. This lesson, as I wrote it, it was interesting to me, and the more I studied for it, the more interesting it became. Because Jesus evidently thought this was something that his disciples was going to need extra help with, because he taught, there were three separate occasions that we're going to look at where he was specifically used this phrase, "You'll be forgiven as you forgive." And then the last one we look at is the parable where the servant was unwilling to forgive. He had been forgiven, and he was unwilling to forgive someone that he needed to forgive. And so I don't know if it's because he knows that his disciples and us as well will have trouble with this. It seems like sometimes...
Maybe lessons.
Yes, I do. It seems like sometimes that... Okay. Well, I said I did. Oh, that's the wrong thing. Here it is. I have to forget my act again. Okay.
One more.
Okay, and you're out. It seems like that he knew how hard this was going to be, and he wanted to be sure they got the message. So we're going to start out in Matthew chapter 6, looking at the first instance here that we're looking at. Amanda, would you read Matthew 6, 9 through 15, please?
Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for your transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions.
Okay, there's really no way to misunderstand this. This is a very plain thing that Jesus has stated here. What was the occasion of Jesus' statement? Where was he, and what was going on at this time?
This is the middle of the
Sermon on the
Mount. I know.
And he's talking about the character of those who would accept the kingdom of heaven.
That's exactly right. That's my next question. What is the main point of 5 through 7? And so we start out in 5:19, where he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And it's all through this. It's twice in 19, down in 20. Again, he is talking about who will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And then in the passages we have here, he says, "For yours is the kingdom." He also, up in verse 10, says, "Your kingdom come." What he's trying to teach them here is the kingdom has to come first in your heart and in your life. And so that is his whole point. Who is going to be able to be a citizen of this kingdom? It starts off, actually, in chapter 4, verse 23, when he says Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And so he, in this sermon, he tells them things they have to do and things they can't do to be a citizen of this kingdom. Got a tongue twisted this morning. On through chapter 6 and then in verse 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." So he's trying to get them to see there is a type of life you have to have, and that is his whole point in this sermon. And so if we want to be a citizen of the kingdom, we have to forgive others as God forgives us. And this is real scary to me, because as human beings, what do we sometimes have a tendency to do?
Let the human side kick in.
Hold a grudge, isn't it? Somebody does something to me, they can be very sorry, but I must say I forgive them, and in my heart I try. But I hear they do something else wrong, and what is the first thing I think about? their last sin.
Is that going to happen?
Yeah, I knew that. I knew they hadn't changed. Is that what we want God to do to us?
No.
And it's scary because if that is what we do, if we don't really forgive, and maybe I'm the only one guilty of this, but does anybody else here do the same thing over and over and over and you just can't seem to learn your lesson and get it right? We make the same mistake and we go to God and we ask Him. And maybe we go for a good long period of time, but then we happen again. Do we want Him to go back and bring up, you did this 3 years ago, you did this 6 years ago, you did this 7 years ago? Do we want that all called back every time we do something? So when we forget, I'm not saying forgiveness and forgetting is the same thing. And I'm not saying there's not consequences for people's sin. That is not the point of all of this. But we need to be very careful that when we tell someone we forgive them, and they have brought forth fruit worthy of repentance, and then a great time later they do something to us that we don't recall that and bring it to their charge again, along with this incident that they have done.
I find that it's mostly in marriages that, you know, if we can look at our own selves and see that sometimes in our marriage, you know, we'll dredge up something, you know, or a hurt feeling that happened, or, you know, because we're having a poor pitiful, and, you know, it's we do that especially with our husbands and with our children.
You're right. I think sometimes it's worse with our husbands than it is with our children. Our children, we seem to be able to get past things with them sometimes better than we do our mate, especially if our relationship is not what we want it to be, because we say we forgive them, but we know they're going to do it again. We just know it's going to happen again, so we're just waiting for it so we can pounce on it again.
But what you're saying, that you know that they're going to do it again, to me, that's not really forgiving that person, because we still think.
Oh, I agree.
You know.
But that's what we do sometimes in our marriage. Rather than put that one to bed and have a clean slate, start off with a clean slate. I want God, when I go to Him and ask Him to forgive me, I want my slate to be wiped clean. I want it to start fresh. And He knows that we have weaknesses, and I'm sure probably sometimes in His wisdom, He knows we're going to do that again. But He's willing to forgive us all over again and start over. So I just ask, what condition does Jesus give for us to receive forgiveness? We have to forgive others. And so it's something that is very critical and important. Let's look at Luke chapter 11. And these words in Luke chapter 11 are very similar, but a totally different incident. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. Karen, would you like to read that?
Yes, ma'am. Okay, Luke 11, 1 through 3?
4.
And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Okay. What is this prayer, and also the one in Matthew 6, commonly called? What do you normally hear it called?
The Lord's Prayer.
The Lord's Prayer. Is the Lord praying here? Or is he's teaching? He's teaching them how to pray. They came and asked him. Evidently, John's disciples had John had taught his disciples how to pray, and Jesus' disciples were wanting the same thing. Teach us how to pray. What do we say when we talk to God? To me, that's sad, because who are his disciples? What nationality are his disciples? They're Jews. How long had God been a part, or should have been a part, of the Jewish nation? For many, many years. Hundreds of years. And so you would have thought they would know how to pray. These should have been a praying people. But what this tells me is they weren't. They didn't know how to pray. And so Jesus is teaching them here. And so there's several lessons that, to me, I gained from these verses here. Did anybody have any lessons that they gained from this?
I
for us today? I mean, this is not written to us, but it's written for us. So when I read this, what benefit is this to me?
One is talking about, I believe, the kingdom come is ruled in my heart. That's a prayer I need to do every day. Lord, you know, rule my heart today. You know, that the kingdom, let you be the king of my life today. And as you are the king in my life, let me forgive. You know, forgive me, let me forgive others, and let me walk in the ways that are right and not be doing wrong.
Okay. Anybody else? Well, the thing that I came away from this with, the first thing that struck me, I need to pray. And I need to know how to pray. So many people that I've talked to who are having such horrible times in their lives, and you ask them, do you pray often about this? I don't pray at all. They don't pray at all. And so we need to pray. And if I don't know how, here's a great example. This is what Jesus said to pray for. So if I'm struggling, and sometimes when you're having difficulty in your life, or at least me, I don't know what to say. I've got all this on my heart, and I don't know where to begin. But maybe this would be a good place to start, to honor the Father and ask that His kingdom rule in my life. That I go to His Word and I learn what I need. In this situation, this particular situation I'm in, let me do it according to Your will. May I find Your true will. May I know what to do in this situation in my life. But so many times, what is the first thing people do when they have trouble? So a woman's having trouble with her marriage. What is usually her first course of action? Especially people who are not godly. They run to their best girlfriend, and they start telling about how awful he's been and what he's done. And I just can't believe he's doing this. And what does she usually do?
Poor thing.
I just can't believe he's treating you this way. Well, she's not telling her side of the story. And believe me, there's always two sides. You hear of a situation, and one partner in the marriage tells you something. And, okay, and so you go and talk to the other partner in the marriage. Well, there's a little bit more to the story than what you got from partner A. You get a lot more from partner B. And what you've got to do is figure out in the middle of all of that that they're saying, there's somewhere in there is the truth. Because they're each coloring it to their advantage. Not necessarily intentionally, but they're seeing it from their perspective. But if we would instead, when we're in a problem, instead of running to our best girlfriend, run to God. Get on our knees or sit down in a quiet place where we can just talk to God and ask Him to help us be sure that His kingdom is what's the rule of our life, not what I want. I hear people say it's just not fair. Whatever their situation is, it's not fair. God, how could God make this rule? Well, a lot of that is because they don't know what God's rules are and the reason. God gives us reasons. Sometimes He doesn't. But if you read God's will, He tells us whatever He's asked of us is for our good. And that brings me comfort. And so I can honestly pray, let me bring my will into accord with Your will. But if we don't use this prayer, so it teaches me I need to pray. And I need to pray often, and I need to be specific in my prayers. Sometimes in my life, I find myself being very general. You know, thank you for the day, thank you for my children, this, you know, just thank you for things and asking maybe for something. But there are really things specific that I really need to talk to God about. And so be specific in your prayers. When we ask to be forgiven of our sins, and then we have to say, or He teaches them to say, for we ourselves forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Can I say that? Can I actually say that everybody who's repented to me, who sinned against me and repented, and is truly penitent, that I've forgiven them? That's no longer there. But when we realize that's how God's going to forgive us, maybe that makes us think more. So if we would say, I forgive others, maybe that would make us, especially if we're having an issue with somebody, maybe that would help us realize that that person is struggling. And what do, if someone has sinned against me and they're struggling and still trying hard in their life, what is my responsibility toward them? To help and encourage them, not stand around waiting for them to fall again and kind of rejoicing a little bit when they do. So, should we expect to treat forgiveness differently and still be pleasing to God? Do we think we're any different today than the disciples that he was talking to? There's no different. As far as we can find in the rest of the New Testament that he left for us, there's nothing different. It's the same. So, does anybody else have any comments they'd like to make on Luke 11 before we go to Mark 11?
We may be able to forgive faster and actually forget about it. The same way God loves us, we need to imitate his love and love others to forgive if we want to be forgiven.
That's right. Actually, what did Jesus say? How did Jesus say you could sum up all of the Ten Commandments?
Love God and love your neighbor.
Love God and love your neighbor. Everything else, whether it be murder, whether it be stealing, whether it be committing adultery with your neighbor's wife or husband, everything else, if we put God first, love God with all our whole heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and then love our neighbor as ourself, we are going to do everything that God has required of us. That makes it sound simple. No, it's not. It gets very complicated sometimes. But sometimes we make it harder than it really has to be, because of the way we are and the way humans think sometimes and the way humans feel sometimes. Okay, let's look at Mark at chapter 11. Sally, would you read 24 through 26?
Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. Whenever you stand, pray and forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions.
That's what's so scary to me about you.
Yes, it is. Makes it scary, doesn't it? This is interesting to me in the context of the whole chapter. That morning they had been going by and he had saw a fig leaf and it had no figs on it even though it wasn't season. And he said, no one will ever eat from you again. And so then the disciples had asked him that the next morning or whenever they saw this fig tree and it was totally withered from the roots up. And so Jesus is telling them, whosoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart but believes what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. And so then he goes on to tell them to pray for. Now these are the apostles, and they were going to need some special, you know, they were going to have special, the special honor of being able to do certain miracles and things that to prove that what they were saying was true. But he's telling them, you pray for it and believe it, and they'll be granted to you. You're going to have everything you need. But even the apostles, if they didn't forgive, they wouldn't be forgiven either. And so this, to me, as I continued to study in one case and in another case and then another case, it just seems to build and build and build. Jesus knew this was a problem people had. We must be honest and say sometimes we have a problem forgiving, and Jesus knew that that could be the case. Not necessarily every time, but he knew that that was a problem. And so he wanted his disciples to get this lesson. You have to forgive. If you want forgiveness, you have to forgive. And then, any questions or comments here in Mark 11 before we go to Matthew 18?
And why put yourself in a situation to have to ask people for forgiveness? You know, I think that's a part of that loving your neighbor.
Well, if we do something, you know, sometimes we may do something we do not even realize either discourages or causes a problem with somebody else. I mean, we may say something and they may take it wrong. It may not even really that we did anything wrong. It's the way they perceive it. And sometimes people, in their anger, say things mean and hurtful. But we need to be able to go back to that person and say, I'm sorry. And I ask your forgiveness. That humbles us a little bit. You know, that kind of makes the pride. You have to swallow your pride sometimes and go to people and say, look, I know I was wrong in this. There have been times when Stephen and I would be having a disagreement, and I knew I was wrong, but I wanted him to be wrong. You know, how can this always be my fault? And it's not. I'm not saying that it's always my fault, but, you know, you have that feeling. Why can't I be right this time? Because I really want it to be my way. But, you know, Stephen and I made an agreement when we got married we would never go to bed angry. And so we've spent some sleepless nights, especially in our youth. And I'm not saying we never do anymore, but I can't remember the last time we did. But, you know, you get so tired. And sometimes your pride's just, okay, I've just got to be honest here. I'm sorry. This really was my fault. I don't know why I made such a big deal out of this. I don't know why this has dragged on this long. I knew from the beginning it was my fault. But sometimes our pride won't let us do that. We're too prideful. We've got to be right. And even though deep down we may know we're not. And so I think having to go and ask someone for forgiveness when we've done something wrong is God's way of teaching us that you're not as good as you think you are. You know, we can go and ask God to forgive us of our sins in private, and nobody may never know what we've done. But if it's of a public nature, that's why it's good for us to come. You know, you can, if you say you've had an open, say you've been living in sin with in adultery or fornication, whatever, and everybody knows about it. You can either go to each individual person and tell them that you've repented and changed that and you're sorry for this and you are sorry you've discouraged them, or we can come down to the front and let everybody know at one time. And so, but sometimes that, it takes humility to come before the congregation and say, I know my life is not what God wants it to be, or has not been, but I want to make it that. And what is so wonderful about that, at least here and in some other places we've been, the outpouring of love you get. It's good for you because you realize that people aren't mad at you. They're just happy and so thankful that you've made your life right. You know, you've made a mess. In some cases, you know, there have been young couples who've come before us many years ago who she was pregnant. They weren't married, but she was pregnant. And they've had to come forward and say, I'm sorry. I should not have done this. But this is where we are, but we want God in our life and we want to live right. And there are other things that we could mention that people have had to come forward for. But they always get an outpouring of love. It's not, okay, we've got you now. You know, we've known you've been living this way all along. Now you've got to, you know, it's not like the Catholic Church, or I think it is, where they have to do penance. You know, you've got to do so many things or say so many Hail Marys and count the rosary so many times and do all the things. That's not what God does. And that's not what we should do either. We should not hold people. Now, we should expect what? Fruits of repentance. Exactly right. Fruit of what we've said. We can't, you know, somebody can't come forward and they're living together and not married and never intend to get married. They're just fun this way. And when they get tired of each other, they're going to go their separate ways. And they want to be members here. Well, I'm sorry for my past sin. Well, okay, but this can't continue. Now, if it's somebody who doesn't know any better, they just learned the truth, you may have to do some teaching. But people have to give up the sin in their life. You know, a drunkard can come forward every Sunday and say, I'm sorry I got drunk last night. And people are glad he's sorry, but you can't go out and get drunk again next Saturday and plan that. You've got to change your life. So God has a reason for wanting us to have to repent to the people that we've sinned against.
Well, it's, you know, I mentioned that about putting yourself in a situation. Me, personally, I was on my Facebook page. And you know how you see some of these little videos with these little kids, mm-hmm. where they have them dancing and cursing, and mm-hmm. so in this case, this one was on, and I know the mother-in-law, but not the actual mom mm-hmm. or her mom. But anyway, so I put on the Facebook, you know, really cute. But imagine if you would put the Lord's Prayer on a CD. That little child would learn that prayer, mm-hmm. you know. Oh, the mother-in-law was angry.
Well, sometimes you don't have to be sorry, you know.
You know, and, I'm not sorry for God's word. Mm-hmm. I'll never be sorry for that.
But it was how they took it, mm-hmm. you know. But if it had been me, if you would have Facebooked me, I put my, and somebody gave me a positive, you know what? That's, that would, mm-hmm. that makes sense. Maybe mm-hmm. I should have put the Lord's Prayer. Maybe I should put her lessons, you know. And I thought the little girl was a little boy. So I said, he would learn. So,
oh, boy, you were in trouble all the way around.
Oh, yeah. But I did, you know, I apologize. I said, I'm sorry if I offended anyone. It wasn't my intention to offend you. But sometimes you know, you need help as to ideals. Mm-hmm. So, but yes, but I did. I apologized to him, but I not apologize for saying you need to put the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. On the CD, you mm-hmm. know, and that would have been so sweet. Mm.
So, well, our society, unfortunately, the, I don't know, crass or just the low life is, that's what people think is funny. You know, anymore
right.
people don't, if a comedian's not funny unless he's foul mouth mm-hmm. to a lot of people. And to people who are godly, they're not interested in that. You know, I'm not on Facebook much. I mean, I have a page, but I never... I don't remember the last time I even looked at it. But I've heard more people say, I've just hidden them. I wouldn't know how to do that. I don't get on there, so I don't know. But they say, I just hide them because I don't want to see what they've got anymore. Or people defriend people because, you know, I don't want that on my, I don't want somebody looking at my Facebook page is what they say and think I approve of that. So I just delete them where either they can't be seen or whether I'm just not friends with them anymore. Mm-hmm. And so you can, you know, you have the choice. As to whether or not, and so, but that is true, and but sometimes people need to hear things. I know people have said that they've known of Christians who were dressed inappropriately, and they would, I don't know if they private messaged them or put it on. There would be nothing with putting it out for all other Christians to see that, you know, I don't agree with the way you're dressed. Do you think this really glorifies God? So then I don't know of anything you have to repent for when we do what's right. People don't like that. They want you to be sorry, but you don't need to be sorry for things you do that are right. Okay, let's look at Matthew 18. This is one that is, I'll just tell you up front, I don't know how to explain everything in this passage. In verse 21, this is precipitated, this story we're going to read here. Peter comes to the Lord and says, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Do we think that this is really after I've given them, I said 49 times, I've missed the zero and there should be 490 times. Is that all we have to forgive? You know, I keep my little black book, and I've kept my mark. Boy, you're at 400. You better be careful. You're getting real close. And then you're at 460. Huh? Yes, it is. If that's the case, what's God going to do with us? God says He forgives as we forgive. So if we only have it to 490 times to forgive somebody, I would translate that to mean God only has 490 times to forgive me. And boy, would I be in trouble. And... So the point is, you just keep forgiving and keep forgiving. Whatever, if they repent, then you forgive. And I don't think we're going to take time to read this whole section here. I pray that everybody has read it, and if not, it's very familiar to you. This is the account that he gives when the king. He says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wishes to settle accounts with his slaves. So this is how God is going to settle with us and how he expects us to settle with those. The man came and he fell on the ground. And what was God, what was the master about to do with him? What was going to happen to this man if he didn't repay everything he owned?
Lock him up, kill him.
Put him in prison until his debt was paid.
Until the whole debt was paid. Mm-hmm. And, yes, his wife and children, they were all to be sold. All they were to be sold. So it was not only he going to be sold, but now his wife and his children. I don't know how many children he had. If he only had one, that would be too many for me if it were my child. And so what did the man do? What did...
He fell on his knees and asked for time to pay it out.
Yes, please. You know, what did he promise? I will repay everything, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and we can't even do that. We can't promise to repay God back. There's some things we do that... So everything in this is not exactly, you know, we can't take everything in here. The main point we're going to see in just a minute from this, but he wanted compassion. Don't we all want compassion? If we have done something, or if we feel like that we've done something terrible, and we want the person to be compassionate, not demanding of us. And so, how did the Lord feel about that? What did the Lord do for him?
You mean the king?
Yeah, the king.
Well, he
forgave him his debt. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And this man owed a lot, evidently. 10,000 talents. And it says, in my margin, it says, a talent was worth more than 15 years of a laborer's wage. So he owed 10,000 talents, and one talent was 15 years. I'm not real quick on math. How long would that take him to pay that out? 15 times 10,000. He's not going to live that long, is he? There's no way this man's going to live long enough to pay this debt if he's just a... Unless he's got a better job than just a laborer. But even then, he's going to have a real good job to get this debt paid off. And so the Lord felt compassion, and he released him and forgave him the debt. That's a lot to be forgiven for. And so how would you think this man would react if someone owed him something? What should have been his reaction?
Forgiveness,
but it wasn't. And so he goes out, and he found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, which was one day's wage in comparison. And what did he do to him?
He asked him. He was asking him for forgiveness. But then he...
But what did the man that was owed, what did he do? Well, he seized him and he began to choke him, and he said, pay back what you owe. Now, he has just been forgiven this humongous amount of debt. And this man owes him the equivalent of one day's wage, and he wants it, and he wants it right now. And he had him. The man did the same thing to him that he had done to the king. He fell on the ground, and he began to beg and to say, have patience with me. I will repay you back and everything that's owed. I'll pay back what I owe you. But he wasn't willing. So he went and had him thrown in prison for the very same thing. That a very minor thing compared to what he had been forgiven. But his fellow slaves saw what had happened, and they went and told the king what had happened. And then this is the part that scares me the most. Lauren, would you... Oh, I think you've already read. Amy, did you read? I can't remember who read and who didn't. Have you read? Okay, would you read 32 through 35, please?
And somebody, as the Lord says in here, you wicked slave, I forgive you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have also had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from the heart.
So what little caveat does he put on here that we've not seen? I mean, it's in there, but this, he states it differently. From your heart. We have to truly forgive. This has to be something that we really do. It's not just something we say and stand around and wait for him to do it again or something else so we can call it back up what he's done. I don't care if it's been over a period of 20 years. If I've repented and you've forgiven me, then don't call it back into account. But what did the Lord do to this man that he said he had forgiven? But he had been forgiven. How could the Lord do that? That's right. He took it back. And this scares me. Because I better be very careful in my forgiveness. Because this is how Well, I just asked the question. Let's see how you answer. What lesson is Jesus teaching? And I meant to say 35, but in 23 through 35, what is the lesson that he is? What's the whole point of all of this?
If we want to be forgiven, we have to forgive. We don't have a choice.
That's right. We must forgive if we expect forgiveness from God. And I cannot totally explain what happened here in 34 and 35, except the Lord, this is what the Lord said the king did, and he didn't have any objection to it. In fact, this was Jesus' way of teaching this whole point. So somehow, we go to God and we're forgiven. But if we're not forgiving our forgiveness, we're not forgiven either. And so I cannot totally explain all of that.
That makes sense. Because he said if we can't forgive, he's not going to forgive us. So if we've already asked him to forgive us, now you know he didn't already forgave us. But we're still holding on to that.
But this was after. This man had been forgiven, and then he went out and was unforgiving. And so that's the part I don't understand. Because my understanding is when I forgive somebody, it's forgiven. But the Lord said he had been forgiven, but then his debt was recalled because he did not forgive. So I need to be careful. You know, I may be doing pretty good, and then somebody else, I've done something, and I've asked God to forgive me, and maybe it's this big thing. And somebody does some little something to me, and I want to hold it in my heart. Is God going to go back and say, okay, your heart's not forgiving, I'm going to hold you in account for this too? So I don't understand all of that. I do know that he's teaching. The main point of the lesson here is if I want forgiveness, I have to forgive. There's no choice. And it's very plain over and over. This is four scriptures that we've looked at that Jesus has said this. So this is important. And I don't know how to stress that enough. Linda?
Over and over again, even in the back of the days of the Israelites and going forward, and one of the reasons that Judah and Israel went into captivity was that they had no mercy and no compassion. And they were treating their brother wrong, you know. And God demands compassion. He wants compassion. He shows us loving kindness. He shows us mercy. And right here in this text, he's talking about compassion. And so, you know, it's not just words, I forgive you. It's like you said, from the heart. It is compassion and mercy is something that we need to grow in. You know, so as we can, as Erica said, that to love. You know, but compassion is, you see, in our country, there is no mercy. There is no compassion. It's people are also caught up in self that they don't look out for the good of others or care about that. And so I think, too, you know, that Jesus is teaching here, not as a side thing of forgiveness, that we should have compassion for one another and see what the state of others are.
That's true, but these stories have one main point, and so let's not get sidetracked. And that is true. He said the Lord felt compassion and forgave his debt. That was why he forgave his debt, but that was what he was wanting, and that's what he did. And so, but you're right. We do need to have compassion, and we do need to love our brother. But what struck me so much all through these four passages that we've looked at, Jesus' teaching is plain. If we want forgiveness, we will not receive it if we do not forgive. And so that's incumbent upon me to search my heart when somebody has done me wrong or hurt me or hurt someone that I'm holding. Maybe, you know, it's easy. You can talk about me, but don't talk about my husband. You know, I can gripe about his preaching, but if you really get too carried away, that's going to hurt me. And that doesn't bother him. He's on and moved on. But there's something. Anyway, we've got to forgive. We can't hold these little things in our heart. And we can't just build up and build up because we don't want Jesus to reach that point with us. And I thank you for your time. We're through about a couple of minutes early, so I will pass out the lesson. This will be our last lesson. Linda will start teaching.
like I said, the first Wednesday in March, and she will teach through the end of the, she will teach through the, for whatever, I'm not sure exactly when she'll finish up, but whatever she does. And then, if my understanding, Sandra has graciously volunteered to start our class on next year, so. And I would like to encourage again, any of the ladies who would be willing to teach, to volunteer. We're happy. If you just teach one class, that's okay. If you want to teach for a month or two, three, that's okay too. But you don't have to do that. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out